Have you ever wondered whether you'd like to jumpstart your musical career here in Italy?
Ciao, siamo Gabriele e Angelique. Benvenuti nel nostro podcast. We are passionate language learners and we record for you the language learning podcast we'd like to play when we learn new languages.
Our podcast in mixed English and simple Italian helps beginners and intermediate Italian language learners enjoy engaging content about Italy, its language, and its culture since day zero of their language learning journey.
Today, we had a chat with Öykü Doğan, a Turkish musician who decided to pursue her musical education and career in another Mediterranean country, Italy. At 19 years old, she left her home country and settled in the little town of Piacenza. Once she has set foot in Italy, she studied different music styles and the techniques behind each of them, all of which were taught in Italian, a language she had to be proficient in a short span of time.
Time and time again, she showed the same courage she had when coming to Italy by ignoring big music industries and embarking on an unconventional independent music career while living in Italy. Listen now to our interview with Öykü as we learn more about her unconventional music journey here in Italy. Benvenuti di nuovo al nostro podcast Italian Escape. Oggi abbiamo un special guest, è la mia ex collega della mia ex lavoro. Lei si chiama Öykü
Doğan.
Öykü Doğan.
Avevi un po' di dubbi su come pronunciarlo, sì. Anch'io speravo fosse all'italiana, ma non ero sicuro.
Öykü Doğan, lei viene da Izmir. Non so come si chiama in italiano.
Smirne.
Smirne, Turchia. Yeah. E poi è venuta in Italia dopo che è laureato dalla scuola superiore. E adesso vive in Italia e poi ha fatto tanta esperienza sulla carriera musicale. Quindi oggi vogliamo capire un po' com'è la sua vita qui in generale e tutto altro, tutte altre cose.
Di altri dettagli. Un po' impiccioni oggi. Beh, anzitutto è una cantante. Yes. Io ho ascoltato alcune delle tue canzoni, sono molto belle. Complimenti, Öykü.
Grazie mille, mi fa piacere.
E da cosa vogliamo iniziare? Qual è la cosa che ci interessa di più? Io sono indeciso sul cosa ti ha portato in Italia e come hai deciso di diventare una cantante.
Forse puoi iniziare di raccontare il suo inizio.
Dai, sì, sì. Cosa ti ha portato? Inizio all'Italia o inizio come cantante?
Cantante.
Come cantante, ok. Dai, ti va di raccontarci un po' di cosa ti ha portato sulla carriera della cantautrice? Tanto sei non solo cantante, ma anche autrice, quindi cantautrice, come De André. Mica roba da poco.
My musical journey. What began when I was born, I guess, because I was immediately very interested in music. So I started with piano when I was 5. I started composing when I was 6. And singing was always like the whole time with me, not something you just study, but it's your most natural instrument. And all those years, I started having some, you know, lessons, private piano lessons and choirs and many, many activities. And then I chose to go to an American high school, not a musical high school, because what I wanted to study was composition. And they didn't have that for high school. They just had classical instruments. That's why I was also concentrated on different languages, which maybe it helped me become more international. And then my dream was to study in Italy. And I wanted to study, of course, music for college. That's how I came to Italy. And they actually suggested me Piacenza because they said the conservatory was great. And also I was 18 turning 19, so I was supposed to live alone for the first time ever. So they said it was a smaller city, it was, you know, really secure and calm. So I came here and I had the exams, also the Italian exam, also all the musical exams. So I passed the test. I first started with composition. And then a few years later, I started to study also modern singing in Bologna. So I was going there during the weekends. And then I also started with jazz piano.
Really? Hai fatto tanto. Majoring.
I was majoring in all these things, but all in different styles. But I think it really helped, you know, shape me as a musician. Jazz piano, modern singing, classical composition. It helps you form and maybe to become an artist, like a whole artist, let's say, when you write some songs, when you sing, you have the luxury to choose from all these elements, from all these different worlds, I can say. So this is like the very short version of the story, I can say.
Devo dire che non sono stupito di sentirti dire che hai iniziato come compositrice. Nelle canzoni che ho ascoltato, nelle canzoni che ho ascoltato fatte da te, si sente un po' che la musica ha un ruolo di primo piano rispetto alle parole. Almeno io ho avuto questa sensazione.
Interessante.
Non so se... io non me ne intendo tanto di musica, quindi magari è solo la mia sensazione, però quasi tutte le tue canzoni ho sempre la sensazione proprio che sia la musica il protagonista, no? E che le parole, la voce siano un po' due passi indietro, un po' più, quasi un po' più timide rispetto invece alla musica che si impone proprio come protagonista un po' orgogliosa. Questa è la...
Non ho pensato così. No, perché l'approccio che sento invece è il contrario.
Sì? Tu hai avuto la sensazione opposta?
Sì, perché io cerco, come uno che ascolta la musica, cerco sempre i testi. Se i testi non va, non ascolto più. Quindi guardo un attimo o ascolto un attimo i testi e poi sento... quelle della musica.
No, ma i testi sono belli, non sto dicendo che non sono belli i testi. E la sensazione che ho io è che sono entrambi, sono importanti entrambi, però che in qualche modo, il cantato, il parlato sia un po' più timido rispetto invece al suonato.
Al suonato c'è un livello più.
Sì, tra l'altro tu fai tutto, no? Tu hai composto tutte le musiche di tutti gli strumenti, giusto? Mm-hmm. Mi sei proprio...
It's interesting. I've never heard this comment before. Usually people always concentrate first on my voice. The first thing they notice and like is my vocal tone and the emotions and different colors of the voice. And then it depends, maybe the melody and the lyrics. It depends on the song, because I like to experiment on different styles. You know, some songs are really with piano and vocals, really acoustic, and some are in different genres. So in that case, it can be a super deep song, or it can be a more fun song. For example, there is a song that talks about different countries, different things about those places and stuff. So it's more like word games and a fun approach. For example, I just published a new single. In that single, the lyrics are more important. It talks about, you know, being a dreamer, how it's difficult in this world, and many people can relate to it. In that case, it's more about the lyrics, maybe. And I think it really depends on the song. Also, it depends on who listens to it. Maybe you're more interested in the musical part. Maybe some other person can relate to the lyrics, so they concentrate on the lyrics. Or some other person thinks that the voice is really soothing, so they just listen to the voice. So, or maybe they don't speak English, let's say. They don't understand the lyrics. And there are so many different possibilities. And it's nice to hear all these opinions. So.
Sì, immagino che dipenda molto anche dall'ascoltatore, quindi sì. Ognuno ha la sua propria
approccio.
Il suo proprio approccio, sì. Tanto componi molto spesso. Quanti dischi ha? Dischi, adesso non si fanno neanche più i dischi. Però quanti canzoni. Album, diciamo, o singoli hai creato in questi anni?
I have 2 albums and I don't know how many singles, many, because I also did a lot of collaborations in the last few years, so many singles. And there are at least like hundreds of songs waiting to be released. Also, I keep writing.
Nel cassetto, le tiene nel cassetto.
Actually, like my first album was born, it was my thesis project when I was studying in Bologna. And that academy was actually the Essex University in the UK. So you get your diploma and everything from there. So all the exams go there. They're the ones who check everything. It's like you're studying in Bologna, but you're actually studying there. So the thesis project, I have decided to create an album, which was a little crazy and really risky, but I did everything by myself. And, you know, there's the music business part and marketing part and so many details, like how am I going to distribute this album? But I'm so glad I did all that because it opened so many doors and I saw that it was actually possible. And actually, it was 2013, so the social media was not even this crazy. Some things were harder. These websites for the distribution, digital distribution, was not as easy. And, you know, there are the copyrights, all these things. Now it's much easier to get all this information. So I risked it. I'm glad I did. So that made me realize once again that it was something that I wanted to do.
L'hai fatto quando eri in Italia, giusto? Quindi hai contattato un produttore italiano per fare il disco, o hai fatto tutto da sola?
I produced it all by myself, and then I went to a studio and I worked with a sound engineer for the recording part. And in this case, once you do everything on your own, you play the instruments, you sing, you write, the sound engineer is the, you know, most important part, because it helps. They help you reach your actual goal. They make it sound the way you want it to sound. Without that final touch, it's more like maybe a live recording. It doesn't sound as professional. So it's sometimes doing it all on your own is amazing, but if that's not, maybe you're not an expert on that area, it's best you leave it to, in that case, the professional. So sound engineering nope, I didn't try that one. Yeah, when I share some covers or other things, it's totally fine because it's more like a live recording. But when we're talking about an album, it's like you're giving what also your music deserves. You're giving it more color and you polish it like that. Gift wrapping.
In realtà hai fatto quasi tutto, cioè solo la parte dell'ingegnere, poi del suono. Hai fatto fare a qualcun altro, quindi cioè, hai fatto 90% l'hai fatto tu alla fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Ma diciamo, quanto è difficile, diciamo, visto che l'hai fatto tutto da solo, quanto è difficile fare la musicista in Italia, la cantautrice? Hai fatto tutto da sola perché è così difficile trovare qualcuno che ti aiuta, che crede in te, che ti sponsorizza anche, no? Com'è? Non ho idea, diciamo, del tessuto musicale italiano. So che il mito è che sia molto difficile, però non lo so
il
quanto...
Mito.
Sì, diciamo, c'è un po' questo mito che, diciamo, solo pochissimi ce la faranno e tutti gli altri, diciamo, come si dice in Italia, diciamo... O lo fanno per hobby o muoiono di fame o giù di lì.
Quello che so è c'è un altro mondo della musica indipendente.
Sì, anche, esatto, non lo conosco, quindi sono curioso e magari anche i nostri ascoltatori, per qualcuno appassionato di musica che vorrebbe venire in Italia a fare il musicista o a suonare, magari è una buona idea, magari no. Diciamo, tu che la stai vivendo, cosa diresti? Dovrebbero provare a venire a fare, diciamo, gli artisti, diciamo, cantanti, cantautori, musicisti che sia, oppure forse conviene andare in un altro paese?
First of all, I think to study music is the perfect place because the culture is amazing, the history is amazing. Even though the bureaucracy is not so easy, let's say, in the kindest way possible, studying at the conservatory is an amazing experience. After that, it really depends for classical musicians, for modern musicians, for who plays the instruments. In my case, it's like a combination of all these worlds. It was more like my choice because when I came here, many important producers contacted me and they wanted to produce me. They wanted to take me to England. So I was to become a teenage pop star and I had to make a choice. In that case, you know, when you get all these proposals, it's amazing, you get so excited, but it's also so risky. You need lawyers because they send you contracts. For example, it was already written, normally they get to 20%, but they wanted to get 30% because they were gonna also record everything. So it means that whatever you do, maybe even cutting your hair, wearing the clothes you want, they have a say in it.
Come Britney Spears, perché l'hanno gestito la sua vita praticamente.
Exactly, for example, that's what they said. We would like to get some pictures like Britney Spears. I mean, what do you mean? She has so many types of pictures. So it was a situation like that. I was really honored and excited, but also it was super, you know, risky. So in that case, I said I came here to study, to become a really strong musician because I've been studying my whole life, but this was to become professional musician. And I said, I didn't say no, I didn't say yes. I just left it like that. And in time, we didn't do anything with them. And I never regretted this decision because then I stayed independent and I became really self-sufficient musically and also in the music business. Now I'm able to do everything and no one can control me. No one can say we don't want you to use, I don't know, piano. We don't want you to release this song. I can make all the artistic choices, musical choices, also personal choices. So it's definitely possible to make it, you know, become famous if you meet the right people. There are so many producers that are interested. It also happens later, these kinds of things, invitations. It's more of a personal choice. So from my experience in Italy, I had so many possibilities, and sometimes it was maybe harder because there are less concerts or possibilities to organize live events because there are more limitations on the copyright side, for example. Many places decide not to organize concerts because they have to pay a lot for CI, for example, these things for about the copyright. No.
Anche i matrimoni, noi ne sappiamo qualcosa, devi sempre pagare la CI, sempre pagare la CI sì. Per qualsiasi cosa. A meno che non fai una jet session. No, se fai una jet session non devi, perché stai improvvisando.
Even if it's my own song, once I ask, these are my own songs, I give myself the permission to play them.
You still
like,
have to
do
pay.
I have to pay myself? And they say, no, you still have to. So.
Bureaucracia italiana.
È la CIA che
yeah,
è
that's
così.
The main difficulty.
Ma com'è negli altri paesi? E quanto è diverso?
It depends on the country, but there are mostly more opportunities in countries like United Kingdom, Netherlands, and in America it's more complicated because everyone goes there for the American dream. So many people perform, but it's so usual that it's harder to stand out. So the bureaucracy in countries like Netherlands, from what I heard, was better. And also, you know, how you get paid as an artist is better. But the artistic side, it's a personal thing. For example, since I did not follow the Italian pop music route, for me it was more like an international project, more concentrated on also the online audience and things like that. So it was a little different. To me, they said, you either go to the United Kingdom or you concentrate on releasing things online and you get your audience that way. So that was another choice. It's all about, you know, these choices and things.
È interessante. Mi viene in mente una domanda. Due forse. Prima domanda è che come l'hai imparato italiano? Hai imparato prima che sei venuta in Italia perché forse dovevano insegnare usa la lingua italiana nella scuola oppure l'hai imparato piano piano quando eri in Italia nei primi anni?
I was obliged to learn Italian before coming here because the conservatory requires you to take an exam. And I think it was the last year of high school that I started taking some courses, really fast ones. Before that, one summer, I came to Italy, Firenze, for a music summer school. And I had some, you know, courses, and it was just the beginning. So I continued. When I came here, I knew the grammar, so I passed the test. The way I was talking was much slower, but I understood everything because I also spoke very good French, and there were many, you know, words in common or many ways of saying they were in common. So I would understand everything. So then all my lessons were in Italian. So the way I talk also improved. But the funny thing is, since I didn't study at school, for example, like French or English, some words were always missing. Also, I always lived alone. I didn't live with Italians like some of my friends. For example, sometimes I did not know the names of some, I don't know, kitchen tools. Some details were missing. But maybe I could talk about a really deep subject. I don't know, parallel universes in Italian, but I couldn't, you know, ask for a kind of different plate. It was so funny, yeah. Even now, some words are missing, I confess. Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to know the names of the gardening tools? Like, in English, yeah, I know them because, okay, I studied at an American high school, but also, you know, all the things we watch, all the songs we listen to, also the internet language, also playing The Sims, for example, was so useful. But in Italian, some things, you know.
È più facile. È curioso che in realtà con Angie è un po' l'opposto, nel senso che lei non ha studiato tantissimo la grammatica, però vivendo assieme magari conosce delle parole molto specifiche, no? Molto avanzate.
Tipo?
Non lo so, tipo...
Gabuzzino.
Vabbè, lo gabuzzino, lo scolapasta, il... Lo so, il mattarello, queste cose qua che sono molto specifiche.
Sì.
Però magari hai difficoltà invece, ne so, a coniugare un congiuntivo, ecco.
Sì, perché non avevo un'educazione molto regolare con la grammatica, però quando dovevo imparare qualcosa, perché dovevo, se no non capisco niente, provo ad imparare.
E hai mai pensato di provare l'esperienza di vivere con dei coinquilini italiani?
Honestly, I always chose to live alone because as a musician, you know, whenever I want, I can play, I can sing, I can record. I'm also like a night owl, so in the mornings I don't talk much. I'm like sleepy, but I stay up till late, so I have this rhythm. Also, for example, my parents would come and visit me so often. Some friends would visit me. So I had all this liberty. That's why I always chose to live alone. And then I would always go out or invite my friends. So I was always with Italians. But I saw the difference because, for example, I had some other friends from different countries. They were living with Italians. And they knew maybe some more words, like we were saying before. And I knew some other things. It was a little different.
Dai, quando devi imparare, devi imparare. Quello è il messaggio.
Hello there, Angelique here. Hope you're enjoying our podcast episode so far. Just wanted to take this opportunity to tell you about a brand new feature of this podcast, our transcripts. We've been adding them these past few weeks into our website to help you in your Italian language learning journey. To find out more, click on a previous episode you're interested in, and there you will find a link that'll redirect you to its transcript. Also, if you're liking our podcast and would like to help us in any way, you can send in your review of the Italian Escape podcast via Spotify or Apple Podcast. This will help us reach out to a wider audience. Thanks again for listening, and now let's get back to our episode.
Quindi sei, diciamo, sarai diventata famosa ormai a Smirne, famosa musicista turca poliglotta, perché parli italiano, turco, francese, inglese. Suoni, quanti strumenti suoni? Un sacco?
I mean, I play the piano mainly. I play acoustic guitar. I used to play some violin and some mandolin when I was little, but then I concentrated on the piano.
Suoni anche la batteria? Suoni anche la batteria, because I heard the drum in your songs.
No, when I produce them, I use the electronic drums. So I play everything on the keyboard with the sounds. But in my last songs, for example, there are also some other musicians. Oh, it depends. But if I produce it all by myself, they are electronic drums. So I play them with my fingers.
Abbiamo un amico. Non so, le hai mai parlato di Stefano?
No.
No?
Sì. Sì, abbiamo un amico che si chiama Stefano, lui è un compositore della musica.
Per film e serie TV.
Sì.
E anche lui produce tutto da solo al suo studio. Sì. È andato...
Però dipende, adesso sì, maggiore parte della musica lui fa da solo con suo keyboard, tutti quanto con il computer, però... Prima del Covid ho visto che collabora con un'orchestra, per esempio.
Un'orchestra.
Perché sua specialità è la... Cos'è? The violin?
Il violino?
No, strings, sì. Strings.
Gli strumenti a corda.
Sì.
E anche lui ha avuto un po' un'avventura, nel senso che ha iniziato a Genova, è andato al conservatorio qua, al Niccolò Paganini di Genova. Poi ha incontrato una ragazza inglese, si è innamorato e l'ha seguita a Londra, dove ha studiato, credo, in una scuola famosa di Londra. Si sono sposati e ha iniziato a lavorare là. E anche lui fa tutto da solo. Pian pianino sta iniziando ad avere un po' di successo.
Sì.
Ha composto forse anche una colonna sonora per una serie TV.
Rai,
sì. Sì. No, però è anche lui fa tutto da solo. Cioè, io non riesco neanche... a suonare la pianola, quindi è...
Figurati io.
Quindi io ho un'ammirazione enorme per chi come te, Oiku, e come Stefano riesce a fare questa cosa. Non riesco a tenere il tempo, sono proprio negato, quindi...
Ognuno il suo...
Sì, siete delle divinità per me da questo punto di vista, proprio, non ce la faccio. Ho altri meriti, ma questo sicuramente... No. Perché poi dovete avere un senso del tempo perfetto, perché diciamo non è come quando si suona in gruppo dove in un certo senso state tutti suonando assieme, no? È più difficile perdersi. Mentre quando suoni da sola devi risuonare la stessa canzone, però dall'inizio con un altro strumento. E se per caso perdi un battito, perdi un tempo, è finita, perché poi è tutto sbagliato. Devi essere proprio bravo, no?
E avere pazienza.
No, oppure diciamo, a me sembra difficilissimo, però magari è la mia visione da profano. È davvero così difficile come mi sembra o sono io che sono negato, Oiko, secondo te?
Doing everything on your own, you mean? Recording everything.
Sì, esatto.
It is difficult because... First, you're alone, so you have to be careful about all the details, you know. If you made some changes in the dynamics, for example, you made that part super emotional, so you have to follow it also with the other elements. Or you have to have also the general sense of the whole music, but also the, like, all instruments separately. You have to know everything, like a director, let's say. When you have a group, every person is responsible for their own instrument. And then in the end, you just listen to it and you say, we can do this part better. In this case, you're responsible. And maybe you make some choices. They're really personal choices. So maybe you need some opinions from others in that moment. You have to be, you know, super careful. if you make some mistakes, that's not a huge problem, because now that everything is being recorded electronically, you can choose to re-record that part if you want. Or in some songs, it's better to do it one take, one more take, because maybe you're also kind of improvising. It also depends on the style. It's, I think when it's an emotional song and I'm playing the piano, I prefer it more natural. So if I, let's say, messed it up, I'd rather start from the beginning. But if it's like the electronic drums, I can always just change that part because it's more robotic, let's say. So there are all these details that you get used to it in all these years. So it doesn't seem complicated anymore. But of course, it's really complicated when you're learning. Even the softwares are not easy. And apart from the musical side, there's the technical side when you're doing all that. So, yeah. It is quite
tante lavoro.
Si vedi, avevo ragione. È proprio difficile.
È difficile, sì.
Ma sai che volevi chiedere una cosa su questo? Quella sono le lingue in cui pensa, giusto?
Sì, quella è la mia seconda domanda. Perché abbiamo sentito che hai fatto tante canzoni in inglese e poi c'era uno in italiano. Non so se c'era qualche canzone in turco, però... Sì, come... Che lingua che usi quando pensi un canzone? Come fai a scrivere queste canzoni?
Yeah, I have almost all the songs in English. Two songs in Italian, one in Turkish. It's really funny because... Okay, I started composing when I was little, but I started writing lyrics when I was 15, I think. And I immediately started with English. I think it was that automatic because I was always listening to songs in English. So it was like the language of songs for me. When I would try to write in Turkish, for example, it would seem so forced when I was a teenager. I would feel, I don't know, awkward. It was like, this is too deep, or this is too, I don't know. And then I kept writing in English. Finally, I wrote a song in Turkish, but I was already 23, 24. I actually liked writing. And then people were always insisting, write songs in Italian. You live in Italy. It's like, why? Okay, I know. And then also Italian. For example, I think Italian and Turkish, they are, the songs are so deep, so emotional and dramatic many times. And the lyrics are so long, you know, just the verse is like a whole paragraph. Maybe I was feeling more under pressure. English seemed, you know, more natural to me personally. And then finally, I released some Italian songs last year, and people also like them, so I'm happy and proud, but still English is the first choice, I think. It's not just about rhyming, because you can rhyme it so easily or play with the words so easily, but it's just, you know, about the flow of the words. And once you make the choice to write in Italian, Italian is already so super melodic as a language. So it already takes you to a melody somehow. English is more neutral. So I think this is the explanation. I like writing in both languages. Now I'm forcing myself to write in Turkish too. But, you know, they're more controlling as languages, melody-wise. They take you somewhere. It's different. with English, I can choose to be dramatic. I can choose to be super simple. I can choose to be, I don't know, anything, ironic. It's much easier to control, in my opinion.
Quindi diciamo che con la musica in inglese c'è più fluidità perché tutti questi genre,
sì, generi,
generi sono molto diversi, che puoi cambiare i stili. Invece non so italiana perché non ascolto tanto, tanto musica italiana, perché sono troppo pesante.
Appunto, domanda interessante. Cosa ne pensi della musica italiana moderna, della musica pop italiana?
As I was saying, as a language is perfect for music, but I think it can be much more advanced because, you know, the Italian music in the past was so popular, also popular in other countries. Mm-hmm. For example, also in Turkey, the oldies are still being listened to, all this Italian music, the whole culture. Nowadays, there is more confusion because mm-hmm. they're trying to modernize it, but by keeping the old rules, and it doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, rap music sometimes works perfectly with the Italian language, but once someone does something, everyone else does the same thing. They're not experimenting much, in my opinion, and there's so much potential. It's like there are some unwritten rules, and if you don't follow them, they either, you know, hate it, or they say it takes so much time for people to get used. Not even the people, I think it's more about the producers, because people are more open to listening to maybe different styles, but producers are like, okay, we always had it this way, like this is so different.
Sembra che gli italiani quando fanno musica non possono decidere di andare indietro o avanti. Sembra
forse.
Sembra nel mezzo, non può decidere.
Però ci sono, secondo me, degli innovatori, dei compositori. Per esempio, un compositore relativamente recente, che però a me piace molto, questo è interessante magari anche per gli ascoltatori, che secondo me è anche un po' innovato, è stato Ludovico Einaudi. Non so se l'avete mai ascoltato. È un compositore di musica proprio sinfonica, però moderna. È un po' tipo Allevi.
Sì, musica classica, però più moderna. Però
nel senso, c'è qualche eccezione, però è meno mainstream, diciamo. Quelli mainstream, come dice Oiku, vanno un po' sempre sugli stessi schemi.
Sì.
Anzi, a volte secondo me è anche peggio. A volte magari è un po' come quello che diceva Oiko, no? Magari il primo disco, i primi uno o due dischi sono più originali. Però poi, per continuare a produrre, per fare il tormentone estivo tutte le estati, iniziano poi a essere ripetitivi, a seguire la moda, secondo me. No? C'è un po' questa...
No, è più...
Anche tu cosa ne pensi, Oiko? Sei d'accordo?
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe they start out as, I don't know, like indie music, indie bands. They make some experiments, some different sounds, different kind of lyrics. But then once they start to get a little popular, they immediately try to be more commercial. But it's mostly because of the, big companies, let's say. Because once they start to get popular, people start to contact them, and these people make the request to have more commercial songs. So the artists, they want to be, heard, they want to have success, and they want to earn money. So they start saying yes, and they start changing their style. this might be the main reason. But sometimes once they get super famous, they go back to experimenting. So that's a good thing. I mean, yeah.
It's maybe a long journey.
Ognuno yeah. suo, sì, avventura. Mm-hmm.
Hai un'ultima domanda però, Angie?
Ultima? Sto pensando. Dobbiamo finire...
Ci facciamo trasportare delle interviste interessanti.
Allora, siccome sei in Italia per tanti anni, cosa vuoi... che speranza vuoi di avere, tipo, di rinforzare la connessione fra Turchia e Italia, adesso che sei, sembra, mezza turca e italiana a questo punto, perché vive...
In che senso la connessione? Cosa intendi per connessione?
La cultura, tipo con la musica, cosa può...
Il link che sì. tra Turchia e Italia, sì. se si può rafforzare?
Sì, se c'è. È troppo ambizioso come domanda, forse.
Oh, good question. I mean, now in both countries, I thankfully have an audience. For example, here I have a different audience, there I have a different audience. And I think the best thing about it is being able to inspire people from all, you know, these two different countries. This is the favorite part, you know, making them feel things and sharing some life experiences, emotions. This is the main, the best, the wonderful thing. The funny thing is when I go to Turkey now, they receive me as someone from Italy. And when I'm here, for example, there are some interviews on the journal, they say the adopted Turkish singer. It's always like they have to, you know, use that part. So I'm having some identity crisis.
Come
è il fascino dell'esotico, quindi quando sei in Italia c'è il fascino di essere turca e quando sei in Turchia sì. c'è il fascino di aver vissuto sì, per tanti anni in Italia.
Sì, puoi vedere perché dalla storia forse, perché c'era un legame fra le due paesi. Ti ricordi che a Genova c'è quella di Galata, hanno questa mm-hmm. amicizia, quindi c'è questo legame fra Turchia e Italia e poi hanno questa affascinanza dell'occidentale bla bla bla. Forse questo, non lo so.
And there's been a lot of commercial exchange, especially with Genova. There's also the Galata Tower in Istanbul. You know, there is so much friendship and peace between two countries because also the people, even though now there are a lot of problems in Turkey, many people are so similar and the Mediterranean culture, the lifestyle, that's why I had no difficulties when I came here. So... From that side, it works for me. Like, it's not a problem if one perceives me more like Italian, if the other perceives more like Turkish. I feel like they're both my home. But then when they contact me from America, they use Italian. That's what I noticed. You know, I say I was born in Turkey and then I came here to study at the university, but they always write Italian. So, I don't know how to explain that. It's their choice because they adore Italy and America, probably for that.
Forse sì.
But, you know, it's interesting to observe all these things. For me, you know, I always see myself as like a citizen of the world, like international. So, being like a bridge of, you know, musical bridge or cultural bridge is something that I love, so yeah, I can say that.
Cittadini del mondo, direi che è una definizione in cui ci identifichiamo, no?
Sì, anche noi, anche quasi tutti che abbiamo parlato in questo nel questo podcast, forse
sì, sì, e anche noi credo siamo molto d'accordo con questo tuo sentire, no? Che ci sono problemi, diciamo, in Turchia, ma in generale sembra in tutto il mondo, no? Sembra che si sia diffusa questa idea che tornare indietro sia il modo migliore per andare avanti. E invece non funziona proprio bene. Diciamo, bisognerebbe fare una bella lezione di storia proprio worldwide.
Sì, e poi vedere il mondo come possibilità, non problemi.
Sì, cioè sempre... Sì. Diciamo, cioè, prima gli italiani o prima i turchi, poi c'è prima i lombardi, poi ci sarà prima gli europei, e poi quando diventeremo una razza interplanetaria ci saranno prima gli umani e poi gli alieni. Sarà sempre così.
C'è prima qualcuno.
Sembra che bisogna sempre essere un noi contro di loro, no? È triste.
È normale.
È molto triste, però è così.
Sì.
We should take the animals as an example. They don't do these things. They're more united.
Sì.
So, yeah.
Cioè, sì, sì.
Però effettivamente la musica è un grande strumento per portare le persone più vicine, no? E oltrepassare i confini.
Unite people, that's why it's so special. When even there is like there are horrible things happening in that moment, people always somehow listen to the music or they sing and anything. There's the exchange, musical exchange, so peacemaker.
Per concludere mi viene un'idea. Okay. Ti andrebbe di suggerire, non adesso, magari ce lo mandi dopo, da aggiungere nei commenti, nella descrizione di questo podcast, magari qualche suggerimento di qualche canzone turca da ascoltare, così facilitiamo un po' questo ponte fra le culture. Ti andrebbe di suggerire un paio di titoli per i nostri ascoltatori che avessero voglia di scoprire un po' di più la musica turca?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Sì, possiamo creare un mini playlist.
Sì, sarebbe interessante. Mm. Dai, poi la pubblichiamo sul sito e nella descrizione.
Sì, perfetto.
Mm-hmm. Oiku, è stato veramente un piacere fare questa chiacchierata con te. Angie, tu volevi aggiungere qualcosa?
No, ero molto contenta solo di vederla.
Sì, ti verremo...
Anch'io molto.
Ci spiace non essere riusciti a venirti a trovare, ma siamo un parecchio incasinati col trasloco ancora, però poi passiamo, giusto?
Sì, promesso. Certo.
No, esatto, vi aspetto sicuramente, no, ci tengo.
So, thank you so much again, and for whoever has any questions for Oiku, please drop a message to our web mail. She can leave her contacts with us and we'll add to the description. And of course, if you want to listen to her wonderful songs, reach out for Oiku on your streaming platform of choice.
Yeah.
And like Spotify, I think Apple Podcasts as well. Apple Podcast. And that's for us. Apple Music.
But we'll put it in the show notes anyway, everything.
Yes,
so.
There are so many songs of hers, so it's really worth listening to them. And you have English, Italian, and Turkish, so you can choose whatever language you want. So thank you again, Oiku, and it was so great to have you here.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I feel so honored because I love this podcast. So.
Grazie.
I really do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as usual, we hope you all will hear from us soon.
Sì.
Alla prossima.
Ciao. Alla prossima. Ciao.